With me, Shazzy D, here on Triple H 100.1 FM. Joining me in the studio right now is a very special guest, Lemuria Carter, and she is the head of school and professor of the School of Information Systems and Technology Management at the University of New South Wales. Lemuria, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh,
you did a beautiful job with the title.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Oh, my gosh, you guys. I was practicing it just before. Oh, okay. And I had to make sure I got it right. So thank you. That means a lot.
And thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem at all. So, Lemuria, can you just give us a little bit of a background into how you got into IST?
Yeah, so IST stands for Information Systems and Technology. This story actually starts quite a while ago, so I know I'm only on here for a little while, so I won't take forever. I knew that I wanted to be a professor since I was 8 years old. So I was at a dinner party at my aunt's house, and my aunt's a nurse, mom's a nurse, grandmother was a nurse, right? So I figured I look up to these women, one day I want to be a nurse. And then I realized that I faint at the thought of blood, let alone the sight of it. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh no, I could probably never be a nurse. This isn't my calling. So here we go. I'm at this dinner party when I'm about 8 years old at my aunt's house. She says, Layla, that's my nickname. I don't even remember that guy's name. So let's call him Dr. Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm a kid. So I hear doctor and I think, oh, well, does he operate on people? Hmm. And she said, no, honey, he's not that kind of doctor. Well, what is he? He's a doctor of philosophy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, what is that? And she said, well, when you get older, if you study something for a long time, become an expert in it, you can be a doctor. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. I can't be a nurse, but I can be a doctor.
You can be a doctor, yes.
So one day, I want to be Dr. Carter. Okay, so that planted the seed at 8. Fast forward a bit, and loved school, loved academics. So I still don't really know what it means to be a doctor, but it just sounds cool. Dr. Carter sounds really amazing. So through undergrad, I received a scholarship from the United States Department of Agriculture. They wanted to increase the number of minorities who worked in agriculture. Again, it may seem a little strange because I'm in IT and IS.
But that's how
you
started.
So I got a 4-year scholarship to go to uni. And the deal was when I finished, I would go work for United States Department of Agriculture for 4 years. All right. Make it through. Went really well. And then I had an opportunity to go to grad school on scholarship.
Ooh, yeah.
So I said, okay, hey, USDA, United States Department of Ag, will you give me 1 year before I have to come work for you? Let me go get my master's degree. The University of Virginia Tech is going to pay for it. They said, okay, that's fine. Okay. So I went and got my master's. Again, now I'm one step closer to becoming Dr. Carter. So the whole time that I'm working on my master's, I told every professor, everybody who would listen, one day I'm going to be Dr. Carter.
Yes.
So I figured I'll get this master's, go work for 4 years, and then I'll eventually get a PhD. The semester before I graduated with my master's, the department chair said, you're a really good student. We know you want your PhD. Why don't you stay here? Get it with us and we'll pay for it.
What?
So I said, oh my God, that's amazing. But I do have this obligation where I'm supposed to go back to work for the people who paid for my undergraduate degree. So I said, okay, let's go to USDA. They gave me a year for the master's. Maybe they'll give me 4 to work on a PhD. Yeah, right. Fingers crossed. So I go to the whoever the supervisor was at the time and said, look, I have an opportunity to get my PhD. Mm-hmm. Can I defer for 4 years?
Yeah.
They said no.
Oh.
Right. But I don't really take no for an answer. So if it's something I want, I'll just have to find a way to get to the yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I went back and said, okay, so how about this? I will do my PhD and my dissertation on something that's related
to agriculture.
To you, right?
Gotcha.
So they said, you know what? Okay, fine. Right? They could see I wasn't going to go away. So that set me up to start working on my PhD in information systems and then just apply it back to government and how the public sector uses technology.
Okay, so it was, you had two opportunities.
Yeah.
But you made them work.
I did make them work, and I'm so excited to tell you a story, and I was trying to make sure I got from beginning to end pretty succinctly. There's one more little piece.
Yeah, go for it.
Because you really wanted to know how I got into IT.
Yeah.
That also, in hindsight, it looks very intentional, and the timing was beautiful.
Yeah.
But USDA sent the scholarship application in the mail. I applied, got it. They want people to work in ag.
Yes.
So they sent me a list of majors that I could choose from. And they were like, food science and nutrition, mm-hmm. animal science, veterinary medicine, mm-hmm. none of which I was interested in.
Okay.
At the very bottom was computer science. And I thought, okay, this is the closest out of all of these.
Yep.
So USDA needs somebody who understands computer science. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Let's do it. First day on campus, mm-hmm. undergrad. I went to orientation. Another person, I don't even know their name. So these people that I just kind of met by chance have had a really big impact on my trajectory. But I'm at orientation, sit beside some random guy. He says, what are you going to major in? I told him computer science. He said, you know what? You should major in information systems because you'll learn about technology, but learn about it from the business perspective. And I thought, hey, that actually sounds good. First day at orientation, I changed from computer science to information systems. And many years later, I'm now the head of school for an information systems and technology management school. Yeah,
goodness. It really does sound like, you know, everything was kind of like just working its way to make you go into IST. That was, oh my goodness.
It did just all kind of fall into
place.
So
did you enjoy it? Like, once you finally, after all the steps?
Yeah. So it's pretty amazing because I kind of started at a time where technology is always evolving. Mm. But I've gone through some pretty big waves. I came in right after the dot-com bust, and then I came in through the e-commerce wave, and then things kind of settled down a little bit, and now we're into data analytics, machine learning.
Yes.
But over the last few decades, every industry is trying to find out how to use technology to help them do their job better or to help improve society. So I know kind of skills that can be applied to any different discipline, right? Mm-hmm. So I get to easily pursue different passions and help people and organizations use technology.
Because, yeah, it's very relevant for anyone. Like,
it's not just
a kind of closed loop,
Yeah. It impacts everybody, every organization now. And it's constantly evolving. So it never gets old, never gets boring. There's always something new to learn, something new to apply, something new to try. It's pretty cool, and I kind of just fell into it.
Gosh.
Good time, yeah.
Oh, well, that sounds great.
Yes, it's been a good ride.
And so what I really also wanted to talk to you a lot about, as you have gone through it, is getting a PhD.
Yes,
You've been through it, you've done it, you've got one. Dr. Carter.
Dr. Carter, yes.
So, can we kind of go back to kind of basics? For those who may not know what goes into doing a PhD, can you kind of give a little of an explanation of kind of what is involved?
Yeah, absolutely. And I should preface this by saying I got my PhD in the U.S.
Yeah.
So there are different models across the world, and the experience is a little different depending on where you go.
Hmm.
So I'll speak mostly from the U.S. perspective, and then I may comment on the Australian perspective a little bit. In the U.S., typically the PhD program is a 4 or 5 year experience, maybe about 2 years of coursework, then a big comprehensive exam that may have an oral and written component that may last for a few days. After that, you're considered ABD, all but dissertation. You're ready to form a committee of about 5 professors who will work with you on some big project. You'll write this long dissertation. It's maybe a couple hundred pages. You'll have to present it and defend it to other academics to make sure it's a sound and rigorous design. And if you make it successfully through that process, you have your PhD.
Okay.
And you are ready to go on the job market and become a professor.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was really fortunate in my experience because I had a really amazing mentor.
Mm.
And you end up working really closely with a small group of people, and they have a big impact on how you work and on how you view research. So my mentor was very dedicated and hardworking and very passionate about what she did. And so it just made it a lot of fun to work on the project. So everybody's experience is different. So it really makes a big difference to have a strong supervisor to work with.
Do you get to pick your supervisor, or is it like a process of, because it is a set, you know, your degree?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have some influence, but you pick from a limited pool.
Yeah.
So if you're at a university in a department where maybe there are, I don't know, 10 to 20 people, of that 10 to 20, maybe two or three do research related to your topic. So you would probably go with one of the people who are doing things somewhat similar to what you want to do.
Gotcha.
So you have a couple of options, hopefully. Yeah, not too many. And then you need them to want to work with you.
Yes. So. Okay. That's also that's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So can we talk about kind of like the benefits? Okay. What are kind of the pros based on your experience?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. It's such an amazing lifestyle. So, okay. People, you know, first thing you think about with the job, maybe salary. It's one thing. So the salary is good. It's six figures and up. In the U.S., that's six figures plus for working only 9 months out of the year. Right. Okay. And then in the other 3 months, you can either go travel, go on holiday, you can write grants, you can teach summer school, you can make more money if you want, or you can have your time if you want. So the money's great. And then I think the better part is that you get to choose what you work on and how you work and who you work with. And that autonomy and that flexibility is really priceless. And so doing that in an area like information systems or information technology, it means that there are no limits to what I can explore. So some people focus on green information technology and how it can be used to promote sustainability and clean energy.
Yeah, big thing for now.
Yeah, definitely important. Some people may look at health IT and how technology is used in the healthcare sector. You can look at technology in government. I mean, there's whatever you're interested in, you can find a way to apply your skill set, your knowledge to solve cool problems, identify new opportunities. So there's a lot of freedom, autonomy, flexibility, a lot of exploration. I think you never get bored, you never get stale.
Especially because if you pick something that you enjoy, then ideally you shouldn't get bored.
You shouldn't.
Ideally.
And then even if you lose interest in the exact area you studied, there's so many opportunities to retool and learn new things and apply them in new ways. And there's always a demand for it. So, yeah. So again, the money's good. The flexibility is amazing. Another thing, you get a lot of paid travel. So we do this research and then we need to disseminate our findings to others. So regularly we present our research at conferences. So I've presented at conferences in Hawaii, Barcelona, Lima, I mean, you name it, New Zealand. Yeah, right.
So I'm like, maybe I should do a PhD in the U.S. and then I'll be going all over the world.
All over the world, yeah. So you get to, it's kind of, you work hard and play hard. It's the best of both worlds. Yeah, it's a really, so the quality of life is really high.
Okay.
Lots of benefits, yeah?
Yes.
And you also get to work with young professionals, mentor young students, build lifelong friendships. It's amazing. It doesn't, most days, it really doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
And I hope I don't damper it by kind of talking about the reality.
Let's do it. Reality.
The day in and day out, kind of. What would you say are kind of, not necessarily disadvantages, but the this is what it's going to take.
So one thing that my dissertation chair used to always say is that getting a PhD, it's about persistence, not intelligence. So you definitely have to be committed to sticking with a project. You have to create deadlines and milestones for yourself because they're not built in. So it is very easy to procrastinate and spend your time doing other things.
Let's like pause on procrastination for like a hot second. So I only did my undergrad. I did undergrad.
Good.
I loved it. I had a great time at uni.
Wonderful.
Like best experience of my life.
Yes.
Enjoyed it. And procrastination is real. Like, and even at that point, like, you just get distracted so easily.
Yes.
You'd be like, I could write this assignment,
but
yeah, I have all this other time, and now it's been a day, and I have done nothing.
Right. So it doesn't change. So what happens is you end up coming up with strategies to help keep yourself moving.
Yes.
And I will say, each level I thought got better. I thought undergrad, good Lord, I'm an educator, but because it wants to expose you to lots of different things. it takes a while sometimes before you get to focus on the things that you're really interested in, right? So you're not that engaged in it. But as you go further along with the master's, there's less of the extra stuff and you focus in on your area. And then for the PhD, even more so. So I think that helps you to focus.
Yes, to hone in because you actually have that one.
It's what you've chosen, and you're really going in really deep on the thing that you're really interested in exploring. So that part helps. And then there are other strategies for keeping yourself moving. You do want to graduate, right? And then you want to get a job. You want to be marketable. So there's certain things you need to do in order to be marketable when you get out. And once you're a professor, we have to go for tenure. So there's certain milestones we need to hit, certain amount of papers we need to publish. There's certain things we have to do. So you can't continue to procrastinate if you want to hit
So
you learn the strategies and find a way to do it.
Don't procrastinate. Don't be like undergrad me.
And I guess another thing, collaboration is encouraged. So your peers, your colleagues keep you accountable.
Ooh, that's a good word, accountability. Because, if you're slacking too much, you know, and you have a friend or you have, you know, a colleague,
your co-author
kind of be like, okay, let's keep it moving.
And those wonderful conferences, if I want to go to Hawaii, there's a deadline for when I need to submit. And I'm pretty motivated to get to this beautiful place to present this research. So, yeah, there are things we do to manage it. So the procrastination can be challenging. On the other side of that, again, because it's self-managed, there's also no one to tell you to stop working. And you've picked an area that you're passionate about. You're interested in it. The body of knowledge is vast. So you can really work a lot of hours. And sometimes it doesn't feel like work. So it's very easy to overwork and end up burnt out before you realized maybe I've done too much and I'm not as balanced as I need to be. I'm spending way too much time reading, writing, collecting data, analyzing data. I'm spending most of my time on these tasks. So
burnout is real, guys.
It can happen.
It's not a good thing. So it's also a lot about also knowing your limit in a way, or being aware. Get up, go eat.
Unfortunately, I usually end up exhausted and then realize, oh gosh, I'm not going to the gym as much. I'm not doing the other things that I know I need to do.
Okay, so kind of like remembering those little things.
They do help.
Take breaks. Well, just a little thing. In my case, I like naps, so take naps.
Love a good siesta. Love a nap.
Okay. Because, you know, in reality, doing a lot, you know, you don't overwork, but also don't underwork.
Balance is key. Definitely.
And so what would you say to someone who is considering doing a PhD? Perhaps they've done their master's or they're doing their master's and they're like, maybe I kind of want to go the next step. What would you say?
I would say definitely do it. I cannot imagine a better profession. So if you like, and the PhD takes it back to the basics. So reading and writing are a big part of what you'll do. Depending on how you collect data, you need to learn a bit of statistics. It just kind of depends on what you end up doing. But I think if you're really kind of curious, inquisitive, detail-oriented, analytical, kind of critical, but not in a negative way, just, you know, and wanting to understand the why behind something kind of way, then definitely go for it. If you like reading and don't mind writing, nobody really is that excited about writing a dissertation going into it. It seems really daunting, and that's very normal. I'd never written anything that long before then, and really actually not since, because we write in a different way to publish. But it seems really overwhelming at first, but once you get into it, it prepares you to move through each phase. So do it.
It's doable.
It is definitely doable.
Daunting? Yes.
It does seem very daunting. But, and once you get into it, you realize, okay, I can make it through this step by step, each phase.
And we're just going to circle right back. What brought you to Australia?
So I've always wanted to live in another country. I'm from the U.S., grew up in Richmond, Virginia, and spent most of my time in the southeastern part of the United States, but always wanted to live abroad. And I knew I could live in any city, especially a city by the water. And Sydney is a pretty fabulous place. But like most of my other experiences, it kind of fell into a into place. So one of my favorite cities to visit is Barcelona.
Ooh, nice.
I was at a conference in Barcelona presenting my research a few years ago.
Okay.
And I received an email from a headhunter with the position at University of New South Wales. And I thought, well, that sounds interesting. I mean, it's a bit of a long shot, right? I'm not going to end up all the way in Australia. But hey, let's have a chat. So I responded to the email and said, look, I'm overseas right now. Let's chat when I get back. We set up a call and it went really well. We both were interested in learning more. So the recruiter was interested in learning more about me and I was interested in learning more about the opportunity. I talked to a few recruiters, then set up a Skype interview. They flew me over for the campus interview, put me at the Crown Plaza, Coogee. Yeah. And I was like, I could definitely work here in this area. And clearly the interview went really well, but I don't know, Coogee felt strangely familiar.
Okay.
So my first time in Australia was for the interview.
Yeah.
But when I got here, I knew I could live here. Mm-hmm. Right? It felt really welcoming. I felt almost as if I'd been here before. Mm-hmm. So here I am. It all fell into place.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, the opportunities have found me. So I do work hard, make sure I'm prepared. Mm-hmm. And then when the opportunities find me, I kind of go with the flow and it's all worked out.
And can I just say, shout out to you and shout out to all the women who are also in STEM subjects.
Yeah, woo!
Because that's hella important. And if it's something that you love, of course, not everyone's going to be, you know, flocking to it just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
But to be able to be in that, you know, industry, and I know it's an industry that, you know, is often talked about as being, you know, male dominated, but not anymore. I feel like now it's very, you know, we're getting there.
We're making progress. So it is still male dominated, but we're definitely making progress and more women are interested in pursuing it, and there are programs to make it a supportive and welcoming environment. So, yeah. And I've been really fortunate just to be surrounded by good people, independent of demographics, so independent of gender, race. I've been really fortunate just to work with good people.
Yeah.
So I've always found it to be pretty welcoming. But so people do have different experiences, and there are initiatives in place to continue to make it a good environment for everybody.
Yeah, for everyone. Correct. Well, Lemuria, that is it for our interview. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for the invitation. It was my pleasure.
No worries.